and I'm going to do the Bible reading for us this morning from Psalm 77. So basically smack bang in the middle of your Bibles. Psalm 77. I'll give you a minute to find that. For the director of music, for Jeduthun, of Asaph, a psalm. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron.
Now, you may or may not be aware, but towards the end of the year, Spotify releases a summary of the music you listen to throughout the year, if you use their platform. This one was called 2021 Wrapped. Does anyone get this? Does anyone get to see it? Yeah, I see some nods around the place. It's a bit of fun. One thing they do is they give you, the genres, the music genres you were into throughout the year. So you can learn some things about yourself and others as well. I discovered that 3 out of 4 Swan family members are really into the genre of dance pop. There's no accounting for taste, really. Amelia was into permanent wave. Now, I thought that was a hairdo, but apparently it's not. For me, I was told I was into indie folk, Christian indie. I'm also into stomp and holler. I didn't even know I was into stomp and holler. But there you go. I think it's the sort of the Tennessee style bluegrass country that I listen to on occasion. That must be it, I reckon. But a genre category of music nowhere mentioned in Spotify is lament. Because to lament is a prayer. To lament can also be a song. And it's a song that none of us want to sing. But as we take ourselves through this journey, I hope all of us might to even begin to treasure the place of lament. To realize it's God's gift, it's his gift to his people who are in pain. I don't think it's a bad time of year really to learn to lament. You know, we can look back on the year that we've just had. And I know people here faced all sorts of griefs and pains over this past year, but we can also look ahead to the year to come. And none of us are inoculated against pain and grief and loss. That is not one of the promises of our loving Heavenly Father. Now this series, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, as was said before, comes straight from the book of the same title by Mark Vogrop. I'm really just passing on the wisdom that's there in those pages. We're making the book available. It's a great read. But we are giving this series, like the book, for a couple of different people. Firstly, it's for those who are in the midst of pain. You know, wave upon wave of grief keeps crashing upon you. Someone said to me just the other day that grief is so exhausting. You know, you lose someone or you lose the hope of something and the sadness keeps boring a hole into your chest. And it's just so tiring. So learning to lament is for those who are facing that pain. But learning to lament is for everyone else too. Because as we think about how to support those who are facing pain, I think we can admit sometimes we're not sure what to say, what to do. You see, someone's pain, there's nothing tame about it. It can be a raging grief and it can make us feel awkward. So sometimes I think we can freak out a bit and we can get it wrong with the words we say. You know, to the grieving mum who's had a miscarriage, better words can be said, can't they, than don't worry, you can always have another one. As Mark Vrogop says, to lament is not about the emotional stages of grief. To lament is an expression of faith. It's how uniquely Christians live between the poles of a hard life and trusting in God's sovereignty. And to lament is a journey. It's a messy, fearful, honest journey as we live in the gap between pain and God's promises. Now, over these 4 weeks, I'm praying that all of us might go some way in learning to lament. And as a journey, there are some steps to take. Not neat, tidy steps, not so much steps to repeat, but a pathway to follow. And the path of lament involves to turn to the Lord, to protest, you know, to complain, to boldly ask, and then to choose to trust. And that's what we're going to be covering over these 4 weeks. And to learn to lament, we're going to be looking at, yeah, how the psalm writers do it. Psalms are songs. There are 150 psalms in the Bible. Did you know that at least a third of them are songs of lament? I mean, that's a message right there, isn't it, for us? And I must admit, I got to say, I've got stuck right into the Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy playlist that Ming has put together for us. It's a beautiful compilation. Well, the Psalms are the Bible's lament playlist. And today's song, Psalm 77. The Psalm has a bit of everything in it. It has basically the whole pathway of lament. So I hope that we might begin to see lament as a gift. Lament is a way in tears to remember God's goodness to us. Before we go any further, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for many blessings. Thank you for who you are, for the gift of your Son Jesus, for the gift of your Holy Spirit as he dwells amongst us. And thank you for the gift of your church, that we can be with each other today. Thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you for the gift of lament. In this room today, we have people who are facing grief and disappointment and fear and uncertainty. And we have people in this room who want to be the type of friend who shows the warmth of Christ's love with wisdom and grace. We want to be shown the way to be that good and helpful friend. So through your word and by your Spirit, as a testimony to the gospel of Jesus, to your own glory, teach us to lament. It is not a song any of us want to sing, but still we know we'll face loss and grief. So take us on that gracious journey, so that we might ultimately be able to praise you, praise the name of Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen. Well, have you got Psalm 77 open in front of you? Because that's what we're going to be looking at. There's a bunch of things I want us to see in this psalm. The first one is, it is good to cry out to God. Now, that's how this psalm starts. Let's read those first few verses again, where it says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. So prayer isn't always putting on your pleasant church prayer voice. Because verse 1 says it's a cry. Verse 3 says there it's a groan. We tend to put on our pleasant church voice for others. But I want to say that God accepts us as we are. This is the turning to God in suffering. This is where it has to begin. You know, just say we get that scary medical diagnosis, and I think our prayer reaction will be something like, please not this, not me, not my family, not my mum, not my child. And that's a start. But we have to take our pain and, as an act of faith, turn to God in prayer. Pray our pain. And if it's only some stuttering words, a cry, a groan, that's good enough for God. That can be an incredible act of faith. See, God is our Heavenly Father. He's not using sort of a scanning wand, trying to detect how articulate, how got it together we are, we have. He doesn't want some perfect formula of words. He just wants us to turn to him, even just to cry and groan to him. To turn to our Lord in all the messy struggle of what life looks like is the first step. A groan, a cry, it doesn't matter. The only thing we need to guard against is to say nothing to God. You know, to sit in silent despair. A couple of years ago, I was talking to a mentor I had at the time, and was talking about something in my life, and I said to him, I prefer not to talk about this particular issue with others. And he really hit it on the nail on the head when he said, well, you don't want to talk about that to others because it's too painful for you. And he was right. I think a lot of us are like that. We keep the painful things away from conversation so that life can be more bearable. It's true. Though the danger is, though, if we would do that with God. I'm going to say a hard thing here, but while simply groaning and crying towards God is an act of faith, giving God the silent treatment is the ultimate act of unbelief. It is true, silence is the soul killer. It's only natural we wonder if we're safe to share our hurts, our struggles with others, but it is safe with God. It's absolutely critical we turn to him, because that's the beginning of the journey that we might know his grace and his goodness to us. Now, do you know people who've stopped turning to God? Who've stopped turning to God in prayer? Silence really is the soul killer. And when we turn to God, it doesn't mean God will provide a quick fix. I mean, check out verse 2 where he says, at night I stretched out untiring hands. You know, I take it that a stretching out hands was a posture of prayer. He's stretching out his untiring hands and he says, I would not be comforted. See, lament isn't a quick fix. Lament is messy. It's raw. But to lament is to start on a journey with God. Life sucks. But to lament is to hold on to the belief that one day, God will answer. God will restore. That's the turn to cry to God. But this psalm writer, songwriter hasn't finished yet. So we get to the next part. And he teaches us that we should pray our questions. We should pray our questions. Now, have a look at verses 5 and 6 where he says there, I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. Now, I think this suffering person is reflecting on former days. Maybe looks back to the way life used to be when life was good. But then in the next few verses, he asks some questions of God. Honest questions. Questions so raw, you'd be tempted to think he's in danger of giving up on his faith. They're that honest. We'll put them on the screen so we can all see them. These questions are, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Now, these are not questions of an atheist who says, huh, suffering. Well, that proves it, that there's no such thing as an all-loving, all-powerful God. No, this is faith. Honestly asking questions of God. It may even look like he's on the edge of unbelief. But this person is expressing faith. Imagine this. Imagine that God's blessing to you, it's like you holding a hose and all this clean, fresh water just flows out of the hose to you in your life. It pours over you. You enjoy the blessings of God. You drink that up. You enjoy God's blessings. So a person who laments wonders has somewhere along the line, God squeeze that hose so that now no longer God's blessings are flowing to me? Is he unloving to me? Is he unkind? Is he breaking his promises? In fact, a lament can be something like, has God somewhere down the line even broke the hose so that forevermore no longer will God's blessings flow to me? Just think, the psalm writer is asking questions like he's prepared to strip everything away from God. He's casting every key attribute of God into question. His favor, his love, his promise, his mercy, his compassion. Everything about God in this moment is being brought into question. It's almost heresy. So for you, so who support someone who's grieving, expressing lament, we need to be prepared for how messy their pain is, how honest they're going to get. We can freak out a bit. But in these moments with a friend who laments, we're not called to be the orthodoxy police. We just have to be that friend who listens, who gives them space to cry to the Lord, which is an expression of faith. And this is going to be the territory really more of next week as we think about to protest, to complain against God. We're looking at Psalm 77 with this key idea. God gives us a lament as a gift so we can live in the gap between pain and God's promises. And the first step is to turn. The journey starts by crying out to God, and we're to pray to him our questions. There's so much going on in this one psalm. We're going to stay in the psalm a little bit longer. But right now, I want to give you an ad break. Okay, here's the ad break. It's an ad break for the Spotify playlist. Okay, I want to tell you about one of the songs that I've been listening to lots lately. I'm going to do this each week. In fact, each week I'm going to give you an ad of one of the psalms or one of the songs in our latest playlist. And this one is Weep With Me by Rend Collective. Rend Collective, Weep With Me is the song. And the words go like this. I don't need answers. All I need is to know that you care for me. Hear my plea. Are you even listening? See the question? Are you even listening? But the song moves through to be a song of praise, a song of hope. Has words like, what's true in the light is still true in the dark. turn my lament into a love song. It's a beautiful song. Wren Collective offers a beautiful lament. Their style, I think, is probably usually more stomp and holler, in fact. That's why I probably really like Wren Collective, I guess. But this song is different. Weep with me. Turn my lament into a love song. And it takes us back to Psalm 77. Because in a prayer of lament, we need to keep praying until there's a turning point. So instead of sliding into a bottomless despair, we're turned around to remember God and have hope. Now have a look at Psalm 77. The turning point is verse 11. This is where the writer gets the most personal. Have a look at the language there. It actually shifts. Before it was, I cried out to God for help. You know, God in the third person. I cried out to God for help. Now it's actually directly at God himself. Have a look at verse 12. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. See, the psalm writer is aiming at what God has done. In the next verse, he's aiming at what God is like. Have a look at verse 13. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? Here's the turn that God wants in each of us. This is why he's given us the gift of lament. How different are the six anguished, faithful questions that the psalm writer poses to then what actually even turns into something better, confident, rhetorical questions that he now poses, like, what God is as great as our God? Wren Collective says, what's true in the light is still true in the dark. See, we've been shown the precious faith-filled journey lament can take us on from projecting really our circumstances onto God to making that change where we project the truth of God onto our circumstances. Now, that's where we want to get to. To have lament remind our hearts that God has been faithful and good in the past, and he is faithful, good in the present. He's holy in all his ways as I laugh, and he is holy in all his ways as I cry. Now, I don't know what you've gone through really over this last year, but looking back at 2021 for Christ Central Folk, I remember this has been a tough year for many of you. People lost a mum, a dad, jobs because of COVID, marriages have seemingly gotten to the edge, children have gone wayward, news of cancer. But it doesn't just have to be an event in 2021. People have faced a yearly painful anniversary of losing a husband or a brother, or the constant pain of not being married or not having children, not having loving parents, ongoing battles with health, the health of your kids. We can be very forgetful of each other's pain, but God is not forgetful. Lament is this gift from God. Lament is how we learn to live between the poles of a hard life and God's goodness. Lament reminds our hearts what we believe to be true. And I want to end with one more point drawn from this psalm. To remind our hearts on what God is like, we should go to the gospel. The good news, the gospel of what God has done for us through his son, Jesus Christ. Now in the psalm, in remembering God's past faithfulness, his past goodness, there's a particular moment that the psalm writer is remembering. Did you see it? Did you see it there in that last part of the psalm? It's the Exodus. The Exodus, it was the definitive event by which God established himself as his loving, redeeming, shepherding savior for the nation of Israel. We see it in that last part of the psalm. Actually, let's go from verse 16. Let's have a read of it again. Verse 16. Thank you. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The heavens resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters, through your foot, though your footsteps were not seen, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. You know, as the Israelites were rescued out of slavery in Egypt, the waters got out of the way at God's command. God doesn't build a bridge. He doesn't build a tunnel. God just makes a pass straight through, and the people of God, the Israelites, are saved as God's flock. They are saved. Psalm 77 is like a lot of other psalms, because life, when life is hard, we're tempted to project the circumstances of life onto Him. But we need to move beyond that to project God onto the circumstances of life. But what we have to hold on to, but what do we have to hold on to when we face pain? For the psalm writers, their anchor is the Exodus. Again and again, they turn their hearts to remembering the Exodus. Well, our moment of deliverance is the cross. As our heart grieves, the moment we need to anchor our soul to is that Jesus died for us. Some of you might be thinking, you know, what would be the most treasured New Testament passage for Christians when they suffer? What do you think would be, for those that, you know their Bible, what would be the most treasured New Testament passage in the midst of suffering? I think it's probably Romans 8. I think it's probably Romans 8. In fact, I'd like you to turn to it in your Bibles. Could you turn to Romans 8? But while you're doing that, I want to tell you about something. This week, I came across a podcast, not a Christian podcast. The host was interviewing two guys. The first person was this young guy, Nick. They were asking Nick about the experience he had as a three-year-old when he was horrifically burnt. See, there was this fire in his backyard. It got out of control as a toddler. He got caught up in that. And Nick was burnt all over, horrible. Doctors did not think he would live. In this podcast, though, they interview Nick, now as an adult, but they also interview John, and John, who was there that day at the hospital when Nick was wheeled in. And John vividly remembers so much about the day. He said little Nick's screaming was so awful. He saw one of the doctors at the hospital crying over this three-year-old because his burns were so horrific. A young doctor who was present was vomiting. He didn't know health professionals could respond in this sort of way. It was very traumatic. It was very bad. But the story was that Nick, this three-year-old, well, he did survive, and that was what the interview was about. And Nick's now 24, has had so many surgeries since then. He still lives with constant pain, but he's at uni. He's getting on with life. The story is that after the event, the neighbors of theirs invited this family to church. And eventually his parents became Christian. Eventually Nick became a follower of Jesus himself. And in this interview, which was basically about your life shaped by such a trauma, Nick quoted these words of Romans 8, and they just sort of naturally flowed from his lips. Obviously, he treasured Romans 8. And it's the words of the Apostle Paul that takes us to the anchor of what Jesus has done for us, what it means that even as we suffer, God loves us. We could read all of Romans 8. We treasure Romans 8, but actually just skip down to verse 31. Verse 31 where it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? And go down to verse 36 where it says, and it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And these are precious words to Christians. They will continue to be precious words to Christians. Life can look like, life can feel like we are like being sheep led to the slaughter. Like we're at the end now. Life is going to end us. But like Psalm 77 says, we're sheep with a loving shepherd who loves us. His love was there for all the world to see at the cross when Jesus died in our place and became our Redeemer. And there's nothing in the world, neither death nor divorce nor demons nor disease. Nothing can happen that would separate us from his love for us in Christ Jesus. In our lament, this is where God is leading our heart, our crying heart towards. Lament opens the door for renewed trust in God, renewed trust in Jesus, our Savior. That's Psalm 77. We're going to be looking at some more Psalms over these weeks ahead. Today is how lament starts with a turn. It starts with prayer. See, the temptation for us, I think, is in frustration and discouragement, is to stop talking to God and give him the silent treatment. But we must turn to him and speak what's on our heart. Yes, our prayers can be messy. Our prayers might be brief. Our prayers might seem shocking and raw and honest if people were listening on it. If someone's listening on, maybe they would be really shocked with what we say, but it won't shock God. He wants those prayers. He wants our hurting hearts to turn to him. Lament is actually God's gift to us to lead our hearts, our hurting hearts, eventually towards trusting what we know to be true. Maybe this week this psalm or another psalm of lament needs to be what you start reading again and again and again, and let the language to start seeping into you. We want the language to start seeping into all of us over these weeks ahead. To turn, to complain, to protest, to ask boldly, and then choose to trust. To lament is Christian. We need to learn to lament. And the first step, even through tears, is to turn to him in prayer. Let's come to God in prayer now. Dear Father, the one who redeemed us at the cross, the cost of your son Jesus, we come to you now. We turn to you yet again. Sadly, we hardly know what to say. We feel like we have nothing to say. But when we face pain, guide us towards you so that we would say something, a groan, a cry, a desperate call for help. Father, please save us from silent despair. We can be so tired of asking again, but give us the strength to ask again. Help us to be honest with you. May the truth of how we feel be on our lips. Because sometimes we wonder, has your unfailing love vanished forever? Has your promise failed? Have you forgotten to be merciful? Father, please guide us and teach us and reveal yourself to our broken and weary hearts. Turn our hearts back to you again. And today together we praise you for who you are, our Savior, the one who rescued us from death when Jesus died at the cross. Thank you that we would have faced utter destruction, but you gave us safe passage through the raging seas. Thank you that we've been delivered. Sinners like us don't deserve your love, but we've been accepted by you. We've been loved by you. What a wondrous thing that you lavish and you continue to lavish on us your love, that we are your precious sons and daughters. So, Father, in trials and in pain, we know that you're in no way against us. You still stand utterly for us. We can feel like we're like sheep being led to the slaughter. But you have made us conquerors. Thank you that nothing can separate us from your love towards us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, help us to go down the journey. Be prepared to walk the path of lament. Help us to live in the gap between pain and your promises, that we might still yet know that Jesus is Lord and Jesus is King and that you love us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.